Iltahartauden aiheeksi luen ensimmäisestä Pietarin kirjeestä sen toisesta luvusta kaksi jaetta.
Second chapter, two verses. With that prayer that the Heavenly Father would open his word. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen. Peter, of whom we heard already in the first sermon of today, he writes these words. As it is said in the beginning of this letter to Peter. Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, greets the chosen ones who live scattered about. And in this way, Peter writes to the believers of that time this word, which has been recorded in the Holy Bible. And throughout all time, and as long as God sees fit, these words are here for us to read and study and learn. With that prayer, that the Holy Spirit would open these words. As he has already opened at these services, and with this prayer, we study this portion of the text. When it says that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, this means you. You believing listener. Does it sound like we are special, excellent people because we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood? We can read from the Bible, and you all have the answer in your own heart. But Paul writes to the Romans in this way. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. As Paul writes, for we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. This is how Paul writes. And we as believers often feel this, that nothing good can be found in us. (Clears throat) And this feeling has been with me as I came to this place. And I would like to ask for encouragement and for the gospel. Can I believe all my sins forgiven? I wish to believe in this way together with you, children of God. With this holy nation, as Peter writes. When Paul wrote that not one is good, then why does Peter write that you are a holy nation? Paul continues. That even though everyone has sinned and has fallen short of the glory of God, yet they will receive as a gift the righteousness, because Christ has ransomed you. God has placed him as atonement, as a sacrifice of atonement through his blood. And when we receive this by faith, we can be partakers of that holiness which God has given to us. There is no holiness of our own. It is fully a gift of God and fully the grace of God. Luther writes about this group of holy people. I believe that there is a small group on earth of holy people, a congregation with one head, Christ, called together by the Holy Spirit. And Luther yet says, it is in the same faith and mind and understanding. It has many gifts. It is like-minded in love, without division. I am also a part of it and a member of it, and a partaker of its riches. The Holy Spirit has led me to this and united me to it, so that I have heard and can still hear the Word of God. This is what Luther wrote. And we can well unite with these words of Luther. We cannot, of our own power or our own understanding or our own will, we cannot belong to this kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit leads us and unites us to this beloved kingdom of God. Luther wrote, that this group is beholden to Christ, called by the Holy Spirit. In our text, when we speak of this, that we are a royal priesthood, a chosen people, we understand about this priesthood, royal priesthood, that Christ is the King of God's kingdom. But when he was asked about this kingdom on Maundy Thursday, Jesus answered, my royalty is not of this earth. And so it is. That even though the Bible says that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, in this time, as Paul wrote to the Romans, that we are all equal. But we have received this grace, this gift of God, that we have been able to believe our own sins forgiven. And we can belong to this kingdom of God as children of God. And then there is this other group. There are two groups in this world. There are those who are children of God and those who are not. And Paul writes to the Corinthians the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The adversary of God, the enemy of souls. This enemy of souls has gain power over the people of this world in such a way that they don't understand the gospel, the value, they don't understand the value of the gospel of Christ. Is not the gospel of Christ one of the greatest treasures of which Luther writes in the explanation of the creed? He wrote that he can also be a partaker of these treasures which are in the kingdom of God. And this treasure is concealed in the field, as it is written in the Bible. And the people of this world, who are blinded by the enemy of souls, cannot see this treasure, cannot see it or understand it. But we can pray that God would open it to us through His Word in such a way that we would understand the treasure of the kingdom of God and why it is so important to believe, so that we can reach that destination toward which we are traveling. We ask this and we pray this, that God would open it and reveal it to us, and that many as possible could find it. And we also ask that it would always be visible in our eyes as a bright treasure, and that we would not see it as a treasure that is buried in a clay field. But that by the grace of God we can be a chosen people, and we can enjoy this treasure, this gospel, the forgiveness of sins. And we can partake with as often as we need to, as it is written, that we can go to the altar of grace whenever we need help. This throne of grace is here in the midst of God's kingdom, and it is found nowhere else. And from here is proclaimed the forgiveness of sins. Even at this moment, dear brother and sister, you may believe, all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. You can be of good cheer with a comforted mind. The Heavenly Father will take care of his kingdom and take care of his children. And if someone is listening to this sermon who thinks that you don't belong to this chosen people, to this royal priesthood, to this holy nation, this gospel is being offered to everyone who wishes to believe it. You can believe unbelief and all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. This redemption work of Christ washes all sins away. And you do not need to doubt or hesitate that can I believe. Yes, you can believe, all sins forgiven. In this way we have a good God and a good kingdom. And why do we keep these services here? And why do we keep services anywhere? It is said in this text you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. This is a task for us, to proclaim this power, the power of the gospel that is offered to us so we can have our sins forgiven. And offers the peace of God when we believe our own sins forgiven. This is the task of every child of God. We can talk about it, about the good God, but we know that many times it is difficult to speak about it in the midst of this unbelieving world. But with our own life and our own choices, we can be showing that we have peace with God and that we have a good conscience. When I spoke about these choices, we often fail and we make wrong choices. And it is not so that when we have once been able to believe our sins forgiven, that it is enough. But we need this gospel often, and we can freely use it. And when we have the strength to put sins and faults and errors away, when we are able to place them under grace and believe the gospel, believe our own sins forgiven. We can live that peace of God which Jesus promised when he spoke to the disciples in his farewell sermon. I give my peace unto you. It is not the peace that this world gives, but this peace of God. It gives us a free and a clean conscience, and we can happily believe. And we can believe this word to ourselves, that we truly can belong to this nation of God. And we don't belong to it because we are good or better than others, as Paul wrote to the Romans. We have all fallen away and done sin. But in the letter to John, it is written, "Behold, it is a great treasure that we are called the children of God." John wrote, "Behold, what kind of love the Father has shown us that we are called children of God." This is God's love toward us. And even this evening, each of us can securely remain believing our sins forgiven. And with a secure mind, you can believe exactly where you are. You can believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. You can be of a secure mind, peaceful mind. Heavenly Father takes care of each of us, everyone from little children to adults and even elderly. And you little children and young people can also believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And in this way remain under the grace care of God's word. And we believe sins forgiven. And we can securely go to sleep. We have a good conscience and peace with God. In Jesus' name, amen. We will join in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.